Shall we just pray? Father God, we thank you that you've caused Scripture to be inspired for our learning, for our understanding, for our growth in our knowledge of you and your will and purpose in our lives. We pray that you will enrich our lives today, not only in our worship, but in our growth and our understanding of what you desire from us. But may our love for you grow from day to day, and help us in that through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I sometimes wonder with amazement at the enormous, rich variety of music and song that God has given to people throughout the world. You ever see these foreign travel programs and the music that different cultures have? It's well and truly amazing. And every culture has its own distinct music. Some we love more than others, don't we? Understandably. Some, I dare say, grates on us, if we're honest. Kristen and I were in Paris some years ago, and in one of the main squares there were some Mongolians, throat singers, all dressed up in their particular national costume, and they entertained us, if I loosely call it that, for 20 minutes. It sounded as if they were clearing their throat for 20 minutes. And if you've not heard them, you've missed nothing. You've missed nothing. On a numerous note, Morecambe and Wise in their heyday, if you remember, had high-profile guest stars on their TV shows, like Shirley Bassey. They didn't seem to mind to be teased or even mocked, which I found incredible that they were willing to partake in such a show. When the late great musician and composer Andre Previn played a piece on a grand piano, it was truly magnificent. However, Eric Morgan said, rubbish. He then played a bit himself, which made Andre Previn cringe with displeasure. To which Eric Morecambe stood up, he grabbed Andre Previn by the lapels and said this. He said, I've played all the right notes, but not necessarily in the correct order. It does appear on TV from time to time. And very amusing, very amusing. Humour and laughter are another gift from God. We need to understand that music and laughter is a gift from God. Another indication that God exists and he's so wonderful that he's created beauty and even given us music, song and a sense of humour. That should reflect in our own hearts his character, his very nature. His very nature. With regards to music, it can be very calming, can't it? You know, depending on our mood, we wake up in the morning, for whatever reason, we feel a bit depressed and a bit fed up because the weather's dull, etc. But music can be very calming. Or it can make you want to party and to dance, like ABBA's Dancing Queen. It was on TV last night, actually. We were babysitting and they were doing profile of ABBA. My son and daughter-in-law took their children to a wedding last Saturday and they captured one of our grandsons dancing to Dancing Queen. Yeah. There are also romantic songs, love songs, songs from musicals and shows. There are folk songs, country and western songs, songs about places, songs about events in history, children's songs, and the list goes on. The variety is enormous. There are also gospel music, which is very popular. Even to non-believers, somehow or other, the rhythm of a truly black gospel choir grabs the attention of most people. Because not only of their integrity, but their enthusiasm to worship God. And if you listen to any gospel music, you can't help but begin to sway a little. Yeah? Sway a little. And children do that naturally. And they listen to music, good music, fun music, they begin to sway. It's a natural gift from God. But also, there are songs of hymns and Christian praise of worship. So many of them, such a huge variety for human devotion to God, as well as laments and heart-moving requests. When you look at some of these hymns, they're amazing. There are a variety of them that God has inspired people to write. As far as I know, Christianity is the only religion that sings in praise and devotion to God or to their particular deity. Other religions chant, but they don't sing like Christianity in love and devotion to God. They chant, but they don't worship anywhere near like we do, through song and worship. And of course, Christianity's worship is a love response to God. A love response to God. We have love songs in normal life, such a massive variety. Most songs, I suppose you could say, are love songs in the secular world. But worship songs are a love response to God, because that's what God wants. He wants our love. And if only people knew it, they need his love too. They need his love too. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, St. Paul says, "Give thanks to God with psalms, with hymns and songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." From your heart to the Lord. He says the same thing in Colossians 3:16. The very same thing. Well, my sermon is the last of three sermons based on the wonderful hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," which is one of my favourite hymns. The author drew inspiration from Psalm 103, from which we've had part of that psalm read to us this morning. The final verses from the psalm speaks of angels and heavenly hosts praising God, from which the author, Francis Light, of "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," began the verse, "Angels help us to adore him," because they sing. They love singing. They don't just sing here on planet Earth. The whole creation sings, including the angels. Angels help us to adore him. Bursting out in song is a natural human response. Even for spectators at football and rugby matches. Throughout the Euro, supporters sang "Sweet Caroline." I think it's because Neil Diamond turned up at one of these and people latched onto it, "Sweet Caroline," throughout the Euro. A natural response. And funny enough, a funeral I did, well, it's not funny, but what I'm going to tell you is funny. At a funeral I did just about 6 weeks ago at Manchester Crem, the very end of the funeral, people burst out in singing "Sweet Caroline." I don't know what people thought about it who were outside, or the funeral directors or whatever. It was a natural response from people. "Sweet Caroline." That was just before we left, incidentally. As Christians, we have much more reason, far more reasons in our love for and appreciation of God to burst out in song. Far more. Because God loves us far more than we can ever imagine this side of heaven. St. Paul says we see through a glass darkly. In other words, our image of God is like looking through frosted glass. Yeah? When we get to heaven, it will be face to face. And we will be delirious with amazement and awe and love for God. And we will be bursting out in song there without hesitation. So what I want to say to you today is, don't be slow to burst out in song and verse from a hymn or two. I can never remember the whole of hymns. I can remember the odd verse here and there. But so what? As long as I can sing it in the garden, in the car, when I'm having a shower. Burst out in a verse or two for your love for God. In the English-speaking world, we have vast resources of hymns and songs. Thinking about this a few weeks ago, we have amazing numbers of hymns and songs in worship to God, which I'm sure other nationalities in other languages don't have. So we're very privileged, very privileged. And all these songs of worship have different emphasis, different emphasis. And the first emphasis I want us to think about is God as a creator and maker. God our creator and maker, which we sang, which was reflected in that hymn we've just been singing actually. And there are lots of hymns that reflect this. Jesus is Lord, creation voice proclaims it. I know it's Christine's favourite hymn. Jesus is Lord, creation voice proclaims it. For by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe declares it. Sun, moon and stars in heaven cry, Jesus is Lord. Another one which I sing all the time when I'm walking about Poynton or in the garden. All things bright and beautiful. All creatures great and small. Incidentally, it was very popular with a lot of the weddings which I conducted at Potts Wrigley, because people seem to remember it from their childhood, from school. I don't think they sing these things now, sadly. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God has made them all. Some of you might like, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the works your hand has made. Wow. We do well to sit and ponder. We do well to pause and to consider in our garden flowers, trees, little creatures. Although there's one creature in our garden that's not welcome. I wasn't going to say this, Christine, but it's the squirrel. Because it's been eating our apples. We don't have a lot. And we're sitting there on the patio the other day, and Christine was shooing them off. And would you believe it? One very sneaky squirrel nipped down barely a few yards away, picked an apple, got on the fence and started eating it. It was mocking us. All things bright and beautiful. And the next thing is God's holiness, his character. This is something we should be acutely aware of, because God is perfect, and thank God he is, perfect in every sense. Whereas in contrast, we're not perfect, are we? We're not perfect. We're all flawed human beings. Sometimes we see the flaws in others, don't we? We don't see the flaws in ourselves. But we're all flawed human beings. The Bible calls it sin. Not a popular word. So I tend to use the word flaw with non-believers. Because they can accept that, but they can't accept sin. They know they're not perfect. We're all flawed human beings. But God is perfect. God is perfect. Hymns like, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I love that one. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move among us. Fantastic. Fantastic. It reflects God's nature, or one part of it, is perfection. Thank God he is perfect. Anything less than perfection would be very scary indeed. Think about it. If God was less than perfect, we'd have cause to worry. Cause to worry. Another thing is our dilemma, mankind's dilemma. Our dilemma as flawed human beings, how are we reconciled to God who is perfect and holy? And it can only be found in Christ alone. That's the answer to man's flawed human nature, in Christ alone, which is the first line of Stuart Townend's great hymn in 1072. In Christ alone. And we sing that a lot in this church, don't we? Our salvation can only be found in Christ's atoning work on the cross. Nowhere else. Another hymn. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. Notice that line. Not by human endeavour. Every other religion, you name it, Buddhism, Hinduism, every other religion, including Islam, their endeavour is to somehow get right with their deity through their own works, through their own endeavours. Well, I'm sorry to say it, they'll never do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. That's why John Newton, ex-slave trader, he knew this perfectly. There's no way that he, as a slave trader, was going to be reconciled with God unless God bestowed upon him grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There are many more hymns, like How Deep the Father's Love for Me, and Before the Throne of God Above, I Have a Great and Perfect Plea. These hymns are packed with doctrinal truths. Packed with doctrinal truth. And down through the ages, we've been blessed this country. As people have sung them, they don't realise they're singing doctrinal and theological truths, which has shaped and formed their minds and their attitudes, as well as Scripture, of course, as well as Scripture. They're there to teach us and then enable us to express our love for Jesus, who made it all possible by dying on a cross. And the next point I want to make is this: trials and temptations. Each and every one of us, I know some of you a little bit, there's a lot I don't know about a lot of people here today, but I know this: you have trials and temptations. It's common to all mankind. And we suffer even as Christians with trials and temptations. And for me, what better hymn can we turn to than Mission Praise 746? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And it goes on, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere? And it goes on, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? I'll be very, very surprised if you're not cumbered with some kind of load and care. What a great hymn. And by the way, the man who wrote this, the author, Joseph Scriven, he wasn't oblivious to trials and suffering. He knew from perfect experience, living in Ireland as an Irishman, his fiancée died through drowning the night before they were to get married. And then he moved to America, to Canada, He fell in love again. And would you believe it? His fiancée died through pneumonia. He knew all about suffering. So he didn't write this in lightly. But he knew who to turn to. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And the next point, sometimes our faith is shaken and our peace in our hearts fades, doesn't it? Doubts creep in. But we need to be reminded there's a hymn as well as scripture. I'm not avoiding scripture. Scripture is the main source of comfort. But hymns help too. Hymns are a great source because they speak to every condition of the human soul. I like Lord of all hopefulness. Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike no cares could destroy. When you sing some of these hymns, they feed your faith. They lift your spirit. They comfort your soul. Be there at our waking and give as we pray your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day. And my other point, which I feel I must mention, is reluctance. Because sometimes we're reluctant to worship God because we're fickle, because we have issues, because we're flesh and blood. We're reluctant to worship God. Singing in worship isn't always easy because we are flesh and blood. And sometimes we don't always feel like even coming to church. Some of you may have dragged your feet coming here this morning. I don't really feel like going to church, but I'm here anyway. Don't think that's unnoticed by God. And even if you have to sing a hymn through your teeth because you don't feel like it, it's what God calls a sacrifice of praise. Anybody can sing when you're happy, when the world's wonderful. Can you sing when it's not? A sacrifice of praise. It's important to meet together for worship. Singing when you don't feel like it even. God knows your heart. And he knows where you're coming from. Added to that, I personally love the hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. I know that God has helped me in my past, even when I didn't know him very much. But as I look back and reflect, I know that God has helped me. Oh God, our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come, for Christian and I and our family, but also for our nation. How God has delivered us from World War II. All the trials and tribulations with COVID, Brexit, you name it. Oh God, our help in ages past. A hymn for every circumstance. Sometimes we're conscious of our need for the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. Because they're not always right before God, are they? And thank God in the Anglican Church we have a confession. I'm not complaining about other denominations, but they don't have confession in their worship. Church of England does. And that's so important. So important. And I value the hymn, Mission Praise 69. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, make it more like you. I sing that a lot because I need to. I need to. Change my heart, O God. As I've said, there are hymns and songs for every occasion, including Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, harvest, etc. And I've only been dipping my toe into a sea of inspired music and song that God has given his people. You no doubt have your own favourites, and praise the Lord for that. But may I recommend that you buy a Mission Praise hymn book. And along with your Bible, read the words and sing them if you can. Some hymns I don't know the music to, but sometimes the words are brilliant. And that helps to supplement my Bible reading and feed my faith. Also, buy some CDs with worship on them and instrumental music. Play them at home, in the car. They will enrich and feed your faith. And may you delight in the Lord and adore him. Psalm 104:33, one psalm further on than what we've read to us today. Psalm 104 says, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May that be true for each one of us. Amen.